So it turns out that a lot of the Rishonim would disagree with the Aruch, including Ramban and some of his critique of the Aruch. Says that many of the cases that look like they're Ein Shrich HaLikufas or other such things are really lacking in Shem Malacha completely. So these are some of the things that come up. Of course, again, when we discuss Ein Miskaven, what's Ein Miskaven, what's Ein Shrich HaLikufa, becomes a litmus test for those kind of issues. So it comes up a lot. The last thing we discussed yesterday was Shitas HaRambam. So what I was trying to suggest was, again with some exceptions, but the larger pattern of the Rambam seems to be that the Rambam ignores the rule of Sikrei Lo Nichalei, even though he certainly does not ignore the cases of Sikrei Lo Nichalei, and I don't think he ignores the concept either. I alluded to the fact that the Rambam sometimes does this, and Yonah was correct. I was alluding to the Rambam Shita and Afkinu. The Rambam paskins the cases of Afkinu, but he never formulates Afkinu. In the case of Afkinu, I think it's because the Rambam really doesn't like Afkinu. He thinks it's a methodological nightmare, which it is. It's a wonderful thing to have in your bag of tricks when you need it, but once it's there, it's too tempting to use, and it wreaks havoc on history and on chronology and on people's lives too. So the Rambam was not very happy with Afkinu. So basically, he took the cases, but he reformulated them. In this case, I don't think that's what happened. I think the Rambam does not formulate a klal of Sikrei Lo Nichalei, not because he had to redefine the cases and so on, because he felt the klal was untenable, but because he felt there was no klal. Well, there is a klal, but the klal isn't Sikrei Lo Nichalei. That's essentially what I was arguing yesterday. We call these Sikrei Lo Nichalei because we are very, very, very influenced by the language of the Aruch and the Rishonim's versions of the Aruch, and Bali Tosas, so this became Sikrei Lo Nichalei, Sikrei Lo Nichalei, part of a unified principle and a unified terminology. But what I'm suggesting here is that the Rambam felt that in all the cases where the Gemara gives reasons why it's not Sikrei, the Gemara is explaining in a way that undermines the status of Sikrei, or the Mechayev of Sikrei. So it isn't the Lo Nichalei, although that may be the common denominator of all the cases. That's not what it's about. In each case, the reason for the particular Lo Nichalei is a basis for giving stature to either for separating between A and B, or giving stature to one or the other. And the result of that stature is that you cannot transfer. You can't say that one is bottled to the other, and therefore that the kavana of one is enough or diluted way extends to the other. So if it's Lo Nichalei Keichid Leitzel Tzidei, so the Rambam was saying, this is not, you can't call this Mtilas, you can't say that there's a spillover to Kavona, Mtilas Neshama, from what he's doing in the Chila Zone, because it's a Stira Minei Obey. What he's really interested in doing in the Chila Zone is keeping it alive. He can't do it, but that's what he wants. So the action that he's doing, which he wants to do, doesn't spill over into the action that he doesn't want to do, because they're not neutral, one to the other. And therefore, one isn't the byproduct of the other, one is the antithesis of the other. The inevitable antithesis, maybe, but that's the pshat. So it's not Lo Nichalei, it's not the fact of Lo Nichalei. It's the fact that the Kihech Leitzel Tzidis, these things can't combine into one. And that's, I think, true for Arad Dechabrei, and I think that also true for Islay Hoshana Achriti, or the equivalent of Islay Hoshana Achriti, or the substitute for Islay Hoshana Achriti, which is that it's Muchach Mitoch Hadabar, that's what we're saying in Tarek Chesa Pasula, that this is Achila, it's not Tikkun Mana. Yeah.
That Rambam doesn't seem to be saying that it's mutter to be might the berries. He says that the Hadas is mutter. So maybe that Rambam, he says that kasher, that the Hadas is kasher.
It's definitely a reading of the Gemara. The implication, is there an implication that if it would be Asur, that it would be like a Mitzvah Bavera or something of that sort? That's a different question.
I think in that same halacha, the Rambam has other cases also where
he, in a case where he what? What does he do in the same halacha?
That the criteria are different from Yitzhak Hetzer and from...
Yeah, no, in theory it could be. I'm just saying this seems to be the Rambam's reading of the Gemara. You're suggesting it has nothing to do with the Gemara.
Maybe the Rambam wasn't posted to the Gemara because he felt like Tosfos, the Gemara, was holding in Tzrichel Gufa. Since the Rambam doesn't pass in Tzrichel Gufa, so he didn't pass the next because he thought the Gemara was wrong.
But why is Yisrael HaShatan Akriti in Tzrichel Gufa? Especially according from the Rambam's point of view, why would that be true? That I don't understand at all.
Well, he understood the Gemara, that the Gemara was saying that it's... comes in a Tzrichel Gufa because he has a Shana's Risi.
Right.
So then you wouldn't pass him like it if you were the Rambam.
Oh, okay. Could be. And the same, but why would you, Yisrael Shana's Risi is not an obvious case of Lakshin Tzrichel Gufa even for the Balei Tosas, because the Gemara is trying to explain why it's mutter to do this. So the Balei Tosas have to scramble anyway and say it's not really Lakshin Tzrichel Gufa, or that it's Meheter Mishum Mitzvah, or something, or it's not really tikkun mana, and so on. So I don't really see how. So I mean, the Gemara doesn't use the language. Even the Balei Tosfos are uncomfortable with it being lakshin tzrichel gufa. I think it would be strange that the Rambam would read it that's lakshin tzrichel gufa. Although if he did, maybe you're right. Then he would say, I don't pass in this case because it's against other sugyas. I hear what you're saying. The Nosa Kalim certainly don't understand it that way. They understand what the Rambam is doing is recording this Gemara and recording a version of or a substitute for Yisrael Shana Achrita, even to the answer of Pesik Reisha. That's how they understand it.
That could be an alternate approach in the other Rambams also, just to say that he doesn't pass in it because he just...
In all the cases of Pesik Reisha, the Lonechale are Ein Tzri Chalikufas. Again, you'd have trouble with...
Said that.
Yeah, but again, you'd have trouble, just like Balei Tosfos have trouble, you'd have trouble. Some of the cases are not Nechus Shabbos. So it's very hard to read the Gemara that way. It's hard for Balei Tosfos to read the Gemara that way, too. I don't know what to do about it. But just because it's difficult for them doesn't mean we should gloss over the difficulty for someone else. I'm just saying, all the Nazir case, the Zalef Agabe Ishim case, the cases that aren't Shabbos, it's next to impossible to say that the Gemara means Midin Ein Tzrich L'Gufa. Hoshana Achrita you could say, because that's Yom Tov. But even though, again, you have the problem is that even Balei Tosfos have to agree that that's the most, one of the most difficult, one of the best writers for the Aruch is Yisrael Shat HaKriti. I'm not denying that the Rambam operates with the Aruch's idea that the Gresha, the Lo Nichale is Mutter. I'm just saying, that as opposed to Pachar HaMasar, I'm just saying that it's not Midin, the Gresha, Lo Nichale. It's Midin in every case that we call Psikresha Lo Nichale ends up challenging the integration of the two elements of the Psikresha. I think Hoshat Achriti happens to be the one of the most difficult problems. The difficult problems for Tosis are Hoshat Achriti and Zalei Pagabai Yishin, essentially. So to make that into Ein Tzrichel Gufa, if you were right, it would explain. But to do that is quite a leap. As for the Rambam's language, you might be right about that. That he talks about kashrus rather than isur. Again, the Nosa Kalim don't zero in on that point. That doesn't mean it's wrong, but it could be that you discovered something. If we want to interpret that the Rambam really is substituting for Yisrael Shana Achriti, even on the psychoracial level, which is what they're assuming, then there has to be something that's substitutable. And then you have to say something along the lines of what I'm saying. The truth is that what I'm saying as a formulation, I think, appears in Rabbeinu Preskus. For the Aruch. In the Ksuba Staff Vav, in the Kiddush Rabbeinu Kreskes, so he basically formulates the Aruch differently than the other Rishonim. Again, we've encountered the Aruch in the Ramban version, in the Rajba version, namely, Sikreshon Nichale, according to both of those, is Davar She'eno Miskave. Right? And whether Sikreshon Nichale is Davar She'eno Miskave, but or is Dabra HaMiskavein? That's the question. That's the debate. Fine. The Rebbeinu Kreskes in Ksubis says Psik Reisha de Lo Nichale is not a Psik Reisha. And Psik Reisha de Nichale is a Psik Reisha. That's his formulation. So I was always bothered by that. What does that mean? And then he goes on to reject the Aruch. He doesn't like the Aruch. He asks against the Aruch. he himself says, I don't understand why Nicha, which shows that he takes seriously the formulation, he says, I don't understand why Nicha or Lo Nicha is going to determine whether something is or is not a psikresha. You know, the inevitability is what proves that it's a psikresha. So he rejects it, and he basically goes on to reject the Aruch in from many points of view. He says, number one, I don't think psikresha makes Davoshen and Miskavin to... I don't think it's the transformation between Miskavin and Ein Miskavin is accomplished by Nicha v'lo Nicha. And I don't think that Nicha v'lo Nicha is a Machayev in its own right. And I also don't think that it dictates whether we're dealing with psikresha. So the Aruch is very difficult. But this formulation within the Aruch of psikresha v'lo Nicha, lo shma psikresha, psikresha v'nicha, shma psikresha. So what does it mean? He's right about that. I mean, the other parts, we could argue with him, but what does he mean? But basically, this is what I was suggesting as the approach of the Rambam. But it's not because of Nicha v'lo Nicha per se. Whatever Nicha and Lo Nicha, however they're represented in cases that affect Psikresha, the point is that they dictate whether or not it's a Psikresha. Meaning, to be a Psikresha doesn't just mean that A causes B. That you cannot be without A. To be a psikresha means that also A and B merge into one. And for merging, they become one identity, or become at least a hyphenated linked identity, or a linked pair, let's call it. For them to become a linked pair, it's possible that there are conditions that govern each side of that linked pair that will determine yes or no. If either side of the linkage is too independent, has too much independent stature, is a better way to say it, then one is not batel to the other. So basically, if it's lo nicha, not because of lo nicha per se for the Rambam, in the Aruch maybe it was nicha and lo nicha for this reason. You know, something that's nicha is linked. Something that's lo nicha is not linked. And that determines whether you can put that circle around them. That dictates psikresha, not miskavin v'ena miskavin, not chiyuv and non-chiyuv. Maybe that's the reason for the chiyuv and the non-chiyuv. Hard to know. But for the Rambam, I'm saying it isn't even nicha v'lo nicha. It's whatever it is. Ki hechol d'lo leitzil tzivei says this is not a psikresha. That doesn't mean if you cut the head off it won't die, but it's not a pidin of psikresha. Because to be a psikresha, when something is v'ena miskavin, you have to be getting something from the linked partner, and you can't do that if the linked partner, you know, has stature in its own right, or if the partner or if this that's being linked to the partner has stature of its own right. That gets in the way with the linkage. So that's Kechel Lechel Tzavei. That's the Ba'arud the Chabrei. That's, Muchach Mitocho Shel Hashem. This is Achila, this is not Tikkun Mana. It can only be Tikkun Mana if it's not Muchach, then it's Achila. And down the road, that's maybe the Peshad I said about the two Isurim as well. If you have Mechaba and Mavir, so they're Mechaba and Mavir. Whether the conditions for Chiyuv are there or not is a different question. But you can't get conditions from one to the other because it's already a Malacha in its own right. And for that alone, it stands on its own. It's not going to export its kavanah lemaisa, or it's not going to hyphenate with something else because it's important in its own right in halacha. It's chayiv in its own right. Right. So if it's chayiv in its own right, it's not a basis for kavanah, which is going to be mechayiv some other malacha. So in all these cases, that affects not miskavin vein miskavin, not at all. That's the worldview of the Rajba, the Ramban, the Bali Tosas, the Rashi, each in their own way. Let's hope Sikresha issues about Miskavin, Rain Miskavin, and so on. Okay. But, or it's a Mechayev, notwithstanding Rain Miskavin, but it's a Mechayev of Nicha Bologna. Again, maybe you can say this to the Rajba. The Rajba, you could still say this, of course. But for the Rambam, I think that formulation that Rabbeinu Kreskes quotes on the Aruch is maybe the best one. Nicha Bolonicha, or its equivalent, determines yes psikresha, no psikresha. Not on the causality level, but on the batel, A to B or B to A, because of the causality. Causality is not enough. It's not sufficient. It's necessary. It's not sufficient. In addition to causality, there has to be some sort of bitel. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
Rabbi,
you said that Does that help with the Rashba's massive chiddush about the saving the drowning child and saving the gold?
On saving that?
Saving the drowning person and taking gold.
Yeah, yeah, I think it does. I think that's what I was saying yesterday, that the I think the Rashba's explanation of the Yerushalmi is based on this idea. Now, I don't think that the Rambam has to necessarily go as far as the Rashba, nor does the Rashba have to go as far as the Rambam. And it's how you define whether or not the one of these is batel agav the other, whether they merge or integrate, or hyphenate. What criterion you use, I think, is very, very open to question. I could suggest 5, 10, reasonable ones. And I think we find, different criteria for psik ratio, which fit in nicely with this perspective. And you could argue about them, draw the line here, draw the line there, this is better, this is worse, and so on and so on. But I think that the Rashba on Chabad is exactly along these lines. Because as we explained, the Ram says, just because you're doing you want to save your house, so you're allowed to Mechal Shabbos, the answer is absolutely not. Chas v'shalom, the Rashba wasn't soft on Mechal Shabbos. And what the Rashba was saying was that the closing of one's home is a reasonable behavior, and it's a behavior of stature. It's a dvar heter. It's not just a dvar rishus. It's not just a neutral action. It's a it's an act of significance. And therefore, you don't gain the linkage or the kavana, either the linkage to chiyuv, the linkage to kavana, the linkage to kavana safa'ula, whatever you want to call it, whatever it is that you gain out of psik ratio, you don't gain it from a maisa heter. Maisa hesu heter, maisa isur, as opposed to maisa neutral and maisa isur, do not integrate. That's what I was suggesting. So that's the emphasis. And even if he's nicha in a way, the chiddush of the Rashba is that it's really psik ratio to nicha too. As we pointed out, he's happy to have this done, but it is ba'ado uba'ad atzvi. First and foremost, it's not equal. It's not that he's interested in trapping the tzvi, and he's also interested in closing up his house. Basically, what we're saying is his motivation to do this or to do this right now is to close up his house. And ba'ado uba'ad atzvi.
Not one but the other because of the fact that he's having positive kavana for the vice heter. Is it like it wasn't the wasn't
I think
the,
so.
I mean what wasn't the chiddush of Rashi that even if you have positive kavana for the vice iser, then that's what's gonna make it not
what do you mean positive kavana for the vice
iser? The way he formulated is that even if you're Maccabi and watch it at three, then still
right, because it's still secondary or agav to the heter that you're doing. So it's not that it's neutral, it's not that it's negative. You have Akiva, you have it there?
Arash was our Kosav, the Lashon Azeva Yerushalmi Nirash, and Tiru Limo, but Chila Beso, the Lishmar Beso, Utsvisha Besocha, the Kavan, she would start with Lishmar Beso, Afa Pisha Ayade Kach, Nitzo Datsvi, Memela Mutrak, Lavat Shalo Yiskav, and Lishmar Satsvi Bovad, Kachi Yersin of Yerushalmi, Rabbi Yossi, the Chulim Kule.
Because if, when you have both of these things, so then the, then he has the, does, later on he also has the Diyuk, right, of the language? Of Bado Badatsvi? Again, you could draw the line in different places here. The way you could say as long as you're not only focused when you have both in this case, so the dvar heter dominates. Niskaven again, niskaven
linol bado
bado
vinol bado bado
vinol bado bado tzvi. What does that mean? So again, where you draw the line in the Yerushalmi, I think, is open to question. Whether you're going to say that it has to be his primary motivation, or his motivation now is, or maybe is, the reason that he's doing this is ba'ado, right? Even though it's nichalei. Ba'aratzi, that's enough. Or, like the earlier formulation, which was, even if these are totally equal, as long as they're equal, the ba'ado is so compelling that it takes over.
And whatever the situation, the person's always going to be having a ba'ado. I mean, it's always going to be...
Right, but the question is if it's legally insignificant...
So it's just that that closing the door is more legally significant
yes.
than other...
Yes, it's the stature of what it is rather than the interrelationship of your interest. In other words, it's because this is a dvar heter it's a compelling dvar heter, you know, which has a certain stature. It's that which makes a difference, not the degree to which you are more focused lemaisa on this rather than that.
So it's just he's saying, even other.
It's the objective stature of the actions, right. rather than his subjective greater or lesser or equal kavana. Assigned to these. Except that, certainly if his subjective kavana is in its own right to be tzadzvi, you know, if I'm trying to be tzadzvi as an initiative, you know, and at the same time I want to close the door to my house, I think it's clear that that's a davar miskaven in the chayiv, you know, regardless. But that's not exactly what's happening here. What's happening here is, you know, it's either an integrated act, we view it as an integrated act, but the integrated act ends up being weighted towards ba'ado because of its stature, or it's not even an integrated act, it's a predominantly ba'ado act. But again, if it had been a ba'ado act, but it wasn't a dvar heter, it was just a neutral thing, it was still psikresha, and since it would be v'nichale, it'd be chayim. Yeah.
The language of bilvad and af ba'ado imply right. that primarily he actually is going for the tzvi. As long as it's not baratzvi bilvad, it would be much
in the Ran's formulation, not as opposed to the Yerushalmi's, right. as opposed to the ba'ado, that's what I was saying before. But I think you have to say, to explain that, I think you have to explain that if that's an integrated performance. I don't think you could explain it as two separate performances that take place coincidentally at the same time. You have to view it as an integrated, that's what I said before. I think you could have said, either this has to be a predominant performance, ba'ado, that I think works better in the language of the Yerushalmi, ba'ado u'ba'adatzvi, right? Or you have to say that this is an integrated action, meaning it's not two things happening at the same time, it's one. And since it's one, since it includes a component, and it's one and it's struggling for that single definition, the ba'ado, the maisa heter is of such stature here that it overwhelms even a greater emphasis on the other. But if it had been two separate actions, bivas achas, and didn't have to define it as a single action, then of course it's I don't think you'd say a reverse psik racial heter. That's what I mean. I'm saying that out of logic, not out of linguistic interpretation. I admit that. It's inconceivable to me if you're doing two things separately at the same time that the dvar hetzer that you're doing is going to remove a dvar yisa. But the point is if we're struggling for a single definition, then even if the weight, your subjective weight is in one direction, the objective stature weight can pull it in the other direction. But I am more comfortable in the in the language of the Yerushalmi itself, where I think it's even the opposite. It's really... It's nichale, but the emphasis, even subjectively, is on the ma'isa ba'ado. Now, in the Shulchan Gevorim, I think he tempers it a little bit. Who has the Kiva? Go ahead.
Pashal de Berash ben Sinu Lemaiden. The Afgav of the Kaimel on the Psikreshi Aser. Hanu the Afgav Shabu Oso Ma'isa the Oved Hapsikreshi. Eino Muskab. Beino Oso Dover Heter Imo. Amal Imo Oso Hapsikreshi She Oso Oso Gamkin Dover Heter Imo. Yiskab in Gamlo Dover Heter.
Right, that's already in between. It's not a predominance of the subjective predominance of the dvar heter, but it's also not inferior. It's both. It sounds equal.
According to the Shulchan Gevorim, would it ironically come out that if you had full kavana for the dvar heter, then that would be a psikresha?
No. Why would that be?
In other words, it seems according to the Shulchan Gevorim that it's because of the dilution of your kavana that you had kavana for both these things. That
I don't think so. I don't see that. Read the line again.
V'hashal dibe arashkin and sinu l'meidin. The alpha gav the kaimelam dipsik reishi aser. Hainu dafka sheba oso maise the abed apsik reishi einu mechavein ve'einu ose davar heter imo. Aval im ba oso apsik reishi she oseh Because
it's the fact that there's kavana l'davar heter. The davar heter takes place as a byproduct, you know, without any kavana. So that's not going to be that's not going to take away from the kavana of the davar iser, even if it's an integrated performance. That's all he said. I don't see anything more than that. Meaning, if he does a single performance, but he has kavana only the dvar iser and not for the dvar heter at all, that would be obsecration. Or that wouldn't be obsecration. That would be a davar miskave, essentially. But if he does a single performance and he is equally interested in the dvar heter and the dvar iser, since it's a single action, struggling for primary identity. The primary identity is given to the Dvar Heter. I think we have different. The language of the Shami, the language of the Ram, the language of the Shulti Giborim are a little bit different in what exactly the relationship is between the subjective Kavana and the objective stature, but I don't think it makes any difference. I mean, it makes a difference halacha l'maisa, which is important. But conceptually, it's all the same. It's a psikresha, definitely denichalei. But the point is that al pidin, it's not a psikresha because the iser does not have its own kavana. And it can't borrow the kavana from the dvar heter because of the dvar heter's own stature. That's the upshot of the whole thing. Whether or not it's subjective, primary, subjective, secondary, subjective, equal, I don't know, I'm not sure. I think there are different indications. But on a conceptual, these are just places to draw the line. The idea is exactly the same, and I think it's a good formulation to say, b'dilo nichale or its equivalent, this would be a b'dilo nichale for the Rambam too. But it wouldn't be b'dilo nichale, it would be the example of what I'm speaking about. Namely, it's the kihechan lole etzel tzidei, it's the two malachos at the same time. It's the achila. It's the distraction, or the independent stature that is simply not going to be easily hyphenated with the other thing. Meaning, it's the equivalent of lonicha, which prevents the definition of psikresha. Psikresha doesn't just mean inevitability. Psikresha means the integration, the bitul that is a result of, or the link that is a result of the inevitability. Yeah.
What makes this
a more significant
dvar heter than any other
situation? I think because it's compelling. Meaning, people have to close the doors of their. But it's just.
Someone wants to drag
it
ahead.
No, right. So that's an elect. You want to transport your object. You want to transport your object. But when you leave your home and your home is open, you have to close your door. If you ask me, did it have to be that way? No. Do I understand the way? Is that what the Rajba is saying? 100%. He's saying this is a dvar. He, by dvar heter, doesn't mean something that you're allowed to do. He means it in a positive way. He doesn't mean a dvar rishus. He means a dvar heter. This is compelling that you can't leave your door open when you're leaving your house. So closing it is closing it. If you want to transport your object, you said you have to transport it on Shabbos, or you have to transport it at all. Maybe you should be, full-time Yetza Ishman Komo. No, you understand what I mean. That's an elective. That's a total reshus. Here, given the context, this is urgent behavior. This is a behavior that is commonly understood to be necessary behavior. Yeah.
I was thinking
about
actually, like the words of the law.
Sorry? It isn't. The question of Rosh Hashanah Tzibur Gufa is whether you have kavana for the action as opposed to kavana for its result or its purpose. Here we're talking about something totally different. We're talking about you do two different things, and the question is whether al pidin they merge into one, or you do one action with two consequences, and the question is, what is the relationship between these two elements? A totally different issue. Malachshen Tzvicha L'Gufa is, all you're doing is, you're not integrating two things into one. You're doing one thing, The question is, what kavanah are you lacking in the one thing that you're doing? I dig a pit. Go for it.
Right?
Two different results, but not two different actions. These are two different actions. It's a zookeeping, animal containment action and a home security action. Yeah, absolutely. It's still two different things. The question is whether they integrate into one. It's one pu'ula, let's say, but it's two different ma'asim. One is a ma'asim hilchos Shabbos, and the other is a ma'asim hilchos Shchenim. I don't know. There's nothing to do with each other. I mean, it's one pu'ula, right? But it's not one ma'asa. What does closing the door have to do with Malachas Shabbos? But if you ask me what is Chofer Guma, that's a hilchos Shabbos issue mitzchilo v'yasov. The question is, do I have kavanah l'malacha? Do I have kavanah l'tachlis?
How's the Rambam different to Yerushalmi?
No, 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 no. I'm just focusing on the nuance of language. I'm just saying that the language of the Yerushalmi, the nuance of language having to do with his subjective kavanah. Is he equally interested in tzad and closing the door? Is he more interested in closing the door than inside them closing the door, or is he more interested in closing the door than inside? In the pa'ula that he's doing, right? Which holds a greater interest for him? So I'm just saying, the language of the Rishalmi sounds like, basically, this man is closing his door. And everything else that's happening is on a secondary level, even subjectively. Ba'ado, uba'ad, whatever. The language of the Ran sounds like, even if he is more interested in tzad than he is in closing his door, the fact that it's a single pu'ula, right, and the tzad and the closing the door part is more compelling or more greater stature, that kind of wrests away the kavana from one to the other. And I think it's a chiddush, but it sounds that way in the Rambam. And I think Shulchan Aruch Gemara makes it sound like it's pretty equal. That's all. It has nothing to do with the Limlach Shedesh HaKadugufa. The Shedesh HaKadugufa is I'm doing a single performance, a simple performance. I'm doing it. I'm doing it with an intention different than is normally associated with this Malacha or the Mishkan or whatever. But I'm only doing one Pula, one Maisa, one simple action. This is two Maisim, even if it is one Pula. Okay. Good. The suggestion was made that that's yesterday, my suggestion, that that's the pshat in the Shulchan Gemara as well. He seems to link the Rajba with his own chiddush being that if it's possible to do a malacha, it's possible to do the action that you're interested in doing without the malacha taking place, even if you choose a process in which one will one will force the other. Nonetheless, it's not a psik ratio. Okay. So what I was trying to say was, ma inyan ze etzel ze. What does it have to do with the dvar heter? In the case of the dvar heter, maybe it's still possible the only way to do A is to include B. Right? Or the point is, this is on a certain level, that's not true, right? I mean, you can close the door and not do a malacha tzav. Right, if you don't have any animals in your house. That could be an answer to this question. That could be another reason why, maybe that's Shulchan Gemara saying, not just that I have this general rule, but this is my explanation of this particular case. You can close the door and not do tzad. So when you happen to close the door and do tzad, that's not secretion. Okay. But either way, what does that have to do with the Rajva? So the suggestion that I was trying to make yesterday was, if Sikresha and Nicha and Lo Nicha is all about yes Kavana or no Kavana, then these are, then both of these positions are basically untenable. Because in the end of the day, if you're asking, with one qualification, the Rashi, or qualification, which I'll get to in a minute. In the end of the day, if the focus is on Kavana, so then the method that you, or the track that you take, determines, not the alternative that you could have taken. The alternative you could have taken is an interesting piece of personal history. But why is it of any relevance to defining the relationship between actions here, if what we're talking about is kavanah? And that's true if you say kavanah in a, you know, nicha defines kavanah, or inevitability defines kavanah, and so on. If you take a Bali Tosis approach, if you take the Ramban approach, then neither of these are really viable. However, if you say either Rashi approach, but I suggest it for Rashi, the reason that this is a Davar Miskaven is because A equals B. Okay. Or, better even, the Rajba approach, Psik Resha is Chayev, even though it's a Miskaven, because it's a separate Mechayev of Psik Resha. Psik Resha is Mechayev. Right, so then these become plausible. Because now I can say, listen, Psik Resha is based on this halachic link between A and B. It's not that, you know, you have A, and every time you have A, you have B, so there's Kavana for B, and end of story. The relationship of A and B isn't what determines Psik Resha. A and B is just there as background, right? What's really important is the fact that it's inevitable, and therefore there's Kavana to B. But if I take, like, the Rajma approach, in other words, or any approach that says that to get Kavana or to bypass Kavana, everything depends on the Mechayev of Psik Resha, on the degree to which A is either linked with or identified with B. And that's a formal legal determination. So then, again, you could draw the line in many, many different places, but at least we understand what direction we're taking now. The question now becomes, not is it inevitable, but does A really equal B? Is A and B really linked together? That's crucial to the Rajba, because the Rajba is all about the link. That's crucial to the Rambam, according to what I'm suggesting. That's crucial to the Shulchan Gibor. Because the whole point of the Shulchan Gibor is, if you can do A without B, and maybe even the other direction, you can do B without A, so even if this B is a result of that A still doesn't equal B, and A doesn't even necessarily link up with B.
Is that then mostly with the fact that the Tosfos emphasizes the fact that in suffering with Tadim and Yidolim, the more Epshar it is to do something else, the more also it's likely to be, which is the opposite of what the word is trying to say.
Yeah, that's because, that could be an interesting Miskaven point, as we explained then, and that is Tosfos and Shabbos too hold that way. You know, because what they're saying is, listen, Eidim Miskaven is a lack of, what's the same? Eidim Miskaven is a lack of Tzir. I mean, I'm interested in dragging the safsa. I'm not interested in making charitz. The last thing I have in my mind is changing the topography of the ground or doing bonim. I'm just interested in getting my couch, you know, from this corner to that corner. Uncle Herbert is coming. He likes to sit in that corner. And that's where I need the couch to be. Otherwise, we're going to hear about it all Shabbos. Okay, but I have no interest in making holes in the ground, preparing for the crop or you know, redoing my living room or anything like that, right? So basically the question is, how do we define what's happening here? The answer is we say he's moving Uncle Herbert's couch. That's the end of the story. But if it's not Gedolim, but it's Ketanim, so if I really wanted to move Uncle Herbert's couch and I didn't, you know, want to be associated with the charitz action, topography, changes taking place, I could just pick it up, it's on a couch, and say it's not his couch, it's his favorite coffee table. You know? So I could just pick it up and put it down. By choosing the methodology of dragging, by doing that, it's hard for me to deny connection to what's taking place. But that's an Eidom Miskaven. That's to explain, you know, where you'll draw the line in Eidom Miskaven. The Shulta Gibarim is a slightly different, right, the Shulta Gibarim is a different issue. It's the opposite in a way. But it's the opposite because it's in an opposite context. Right, in other words, the issue in, you're going to be more chayav for Eidom Miskaven if you view the action as independent, the Asiyas HaCharitz, not as a byproduct. As long as you view it as a byproduct, you could say, I wasn't interested in it. I'm interested in the primary, not the byproduct. And it's not secretion, so it's fine. If I could do, if my lack of interest in the byproduct was really confirmed, right, why didn't I pick up the coffee table? So choosing alternative that included the potential for a charitz dictates that this is not a byproduct, it's not linked, it's separate. I'm doing two things at the same time. In Psikresha, the more I'm doing two separate things at the same time, the clearer it is that one is miskaven and the other is ain't a miskaven. So you're 100% right that the Shulchan Gevorim and the Girsa of Ketanim and Gedolim of Balei Tosfos are opposites, but the reason for that is because we are interested in opposite results. In ain't a miskaven, the more independent it is, the more you're connected with it for the choices that you made. And in Psikresha, the more independent it is, the less chayiv you are, because the kavana that I have in one doesn't automatically extend to the other. Because we paskin, don't shade a miskaven, of all types, are mutter. So you're what you're pointing out is true, but it's not a difficulty, it's consistent with everything that we're discussing.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So that's the Shulchan Gevorim. Now, having said that, yeah.
Just at the risk of being repetitive, how exactly is there big distinction between your shus and if let's say Uncle Herbert is coming and I have to move the bench,
right,
does that become a dvar heter, or is that still?
No, I don't think so. I mean, Uncle Herbert's a lovely guy, but.
No.
I think it's closing one's door is viewed as a it's not a reason to be mechallel Shabbos like the Ran says, but it's not a zavar harushos. It's understood that that's a necessity.
Is that the only thing?
Is that the only thing? I doubt it. I'm sure you could find the other things, and I'm sure we could probably argue about some things that are and some things that are not. But I think the point is anything which has either very positive spiritual value or reasonable expected human value or human urgency would fall under this category. Okay. Getting Uncle Herbert his coffee table or his bed, is very family conscious. It's a nice thing. It's a chesed. It's a wonderful thing. Okay. But you could do it Erev Shabbos, number one. And if you can't do it on Shabbos, you can't do it on Shabbos.
Wearing Shabbos.
What?
Wearing Shabbos. Wearing Shabbos might be
another good example. Wearing
Shabbos.
Yeah, but you don't have to wear Shabbos. But you do have to close the door of your home.
You don't have to lock the deer in.
What?
I mean, you have to close the door of your home, and if the deer is in, then that's great. So you have to
I don't think it's comparable. You don't have to put on Shabbos clothes, but you do have to close the door of your house when you leave, unless you live in Toronto when I was growing up. But if you live in New York, you have to close your door. Probably nowadays, do we have any Torontonians here? I don't know. Okay, but probably nowadays you have to close your door everywhere you live. It used to be there were places where you left your car open, left your door open. I remember it was a culture shock when we moved to New York. We said, a lot of aspects of the culture shock. It's a fine city, but the point is that it was surprising. You can't walk out at night. Not anyway, it's actually improved a lot. But when you first came to New York, you can't walk at night, you can't walk alone, you can't close your this, you have to close that. If you don't, you're insane. And you're asking for trouble. It's an urgency. Halacha recognizes that there are certain compelling things that people in the normal pattern of life have to do. Not have to do. It's a chiyuv min haTorah. But these are reasonable, urgent actions. The point is, when it reaches that status, so you won't say it's not neutral anymore. It has stature. That's what I'm saying. Now, is that the only thing? Absolutely not. I'm sure there are things that are anything that's l'shem mit. For example, getting back to the Yerushalmi, right? So the Yerushalmi's cases are Pikuach Nefesh. You can read the Yerushalmi pretty nicely according to the Ran, but you can't read the Yerushalmi nicely according to the Ran. The Ran admits that you can't read the Yerushalmi nicely. Basically, the Ran says ignore the linkage in the Yerushalmi. There are two things going on in the Yerushalmi that have nothing to do with each other, although it really doesn't sound that way. Okay. But according to the Rajba, right? So what are we equating? The guy is about to jump in and save this baby thrashing around in the ocean, you know, and he sees a little ruby or a sapphire or whatever it is there as well. Okay. He can do it in one fell swoop, assuming, or in some integrated way. So why not say psikresh de velayamos? Right? No, because the predominance of the act of pikoch nefesh, which halacha considers to be the greatest, most valuable, most important thing that you can ever do, it just overwhelms everything else. Is that more than closing the door of your house? Absolutely. Much more. But even the closing of your house door is compelling behavior. Enough. Okay. The issue raised by the Shulti Giborim, on the other hand, whether he's right or not, I think is a different question. In other words, the Shulti Giborim says, Kal v'chomer, if you say the Rajba, you're going to say me. Is it really a Kal v'chomer? Questionable. Number one, it's very questionable. You still might always say that the route that you take and not the alternative that you could have taken is the only thing that dictates in the area of psikresha. In the case of the Rajba, the route that he took is one in which, right, there is a compelling, independent, statured action linked up with the action that needs kavana. In the case of the Shulti Giborim, it's all based on the alternative that he could have taken. Could you say the Rajba yes and the Shulti Giborim no? Absolutely. That's why I think it's so attractive to say what I'm saying, which is that the link in the Shulti Giborim, he too understands that these two things have nothing to do with each other on a certain level. It's the underlying perspective on psikresha that is what's compelled. And from that point of view, I think you could say, not only in drawing the quantitative line, but from that point of view, I think you could also say that the Shulti Giborim is right and the Rajba is wrong. Take it from the perspective of Rashi for the moment. We said for Rashi that maybe psikresha is a davar miskaven. But what makes it a davar miskaven? The fact that objectively it's going to happen, and therefore it's ki'ilo yeshal kavana? By the way, there is that formulation in the Shita Mekubetzes, page 62, column 2, the Gilyon Tosis in Tzuvos. There's an Anan Sahadi. I don't know. Most of the Bali Tosis have different formulations too, but I think there's a particularly sharp one. The Gilyon Tosis, Kasav, and so on. Yaakov, you can find anything in those other... You're good. It's important for other reasons. The Malacha Sha'osa. The Uz Anan Sahadi in Nichale Umiskabe. Okay, an interesting formulation. Anan Sahadi. What? Anan Sahadi? Anan Sahadi that Psikresha is Davron Miskabe? Oh, okay. Which. Kasa test? Okay, very good. What? Well, Tosin doesn't say, the words on it. It says, Kim Miskabe. Says what an Ansari do? Ah, the continuation. Ah, okay, very good. But if you say the point to the Rashi, that's not based on Ansari or anything like it. It's based on, as we said, A equals B. So there's a legal move. That is necessary. The foundation of psikresha is a legal move of A equals B. So then you could still say the idea of the Shulti Giborim, which is the idea of Rashi and Tzvachim, basically. Right? Yeah. So in that sense, of course, it's Kal v'chomer, even if you were to take not the hyphenated view of psikresha, but the A equals B, a part of you. Now this idea, I think, also is reflected in two other sugyas. One is the Rashi's view of Psachim. Again, the sugya of Psachim, right, tells us that, tells what? Matas? I haven't had a chance to call on him in a long time. Sugim Psachim is Afshar, Bukamachave, Lovshar, Lokamachave, that old sugya, right? Right? Okay, good. So what's the problem there is, Anah Habala Adam Bal Karcha. So the question is, what's the question Rishonim ask? Why isn't that always? What? Why is that always Tigratia? Right? The guy is there. And Gemara has a discussion, says it depends on Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon and Miskaben, right? And then they debate, even within, what about Efshar? And what about Lo Efshar B'chal Mechaben? What about Efshar B'lo Mechaben? Right? Which is the Girsa, like the Girsa of Tanim and Gigolin. But what happened to the simple fact? And it's the grace of Elayamos. End of story. Right? So the Rosh gives an answer to that question, and the Maram Kalava does. Namely, did you see it? Yoni? Efshar listom is Nechirov, and the Maram Kalava
says that
what? Yeah. The Amaraka is very intriguing. It has roots in other Rishonim too. Namely, when it comes to Reach, so the subjective element plays a role in the objective Issa. Right. It's a kind of expanded Misasik, if you will. Your attitude when it comes to the sense of smell determines, in some cases at least, determines the quality that differentiates or distinguishes Iser and Hetter. If you're going to be Meriach just because of Psik Reisha, but you have no interest in it, and no active part in it, then it's not a Reach Shal Iser. That's Chiddush the Maram Chalav. That answers the question. But the Rosh's answer is the one that I'm really interested in at the moment. Well, I'm interested in the Maram Chalava because it's not the Rosh. Okay. What, so what do you think about the Rosh? Yeah. And the Shulchan Gemara. Again, you could distinguish maybe between the cases a little bit, but the point is, because now even, any moment you want, you could stop this. It's not the same as there. You can't do anything to stop this now, but you could have accomplished this goal in an alternative way. That's the Shulchan Gemara, and that's the Rashi. Right now, you're mezalef, betipim gasos. But you could have been mezalef, betipim dakos. Okay, here it's a little different. Here what we're saying is even the process which you're involved in doesn't have to be a psikresha. Efshar listom es dechira. However, the basic idea is the same. Why, Yoni? Because it's up to you whether you're going to do it or not. And if you choose not to, then it's going to be a psik reisha. This is a preventable, the classic psik reisha is psik reisha. Right? You cut off the head of the chicken or the person or whatever, and he dies. The classic psik reisha is inevitable. Right? There are no alternative processes. The only way to get the chicken's head or the person's head on a plate is to kill him, right? And it's inevitable, and there's no turning back, there's no stopping in the middle. The classic case of Sikresha has all of these elements. The question is, that happens to be the classical case. Does that mean that anything short of all of those features is not a Sikresha? Maybe it's has three or four or five characteristics, only one of which is really what defines psik reisha. Right? So, good. Psik reisha is a case where you can't stop. But that's not what makes it psik reisha. What makes it psik reisha is the fact that it is predictable. And you're in control of that predictability. So good. If you are not going to be so same as Nechira, as Nechira, Nechirecha, so then you're, the fact that you could is irrelevant from the perspective of Adan Sahadi. But if we are interested in the objective interrelationship between A and B, so doesn't the fact that I could be in this spot and not be Mariach, the Reach, Ha'iser, doesn't that dictate that A and B are not identical? We can make that argument. In that sense, it's like the Shulchan Gibor and it's like the Rashi. Again, you could distinguish between them. But in this case, you'd have to distinguish and say, you know, the Rush could be right, but, you know, the Shulchan Gibarim and Rashi are going to be wrong. That would be the direction in this case. The other case, the Rajba versus the Shulchan Gibarim, I think could go in either direction. But either way, we understand what the Rush is saying, only if we do not interpret, you just told me the Rush says Anan Sadi. Yeah. With the straightforward Anan Sadi, this is his Kavana, right? It's it makes no sense. Stimas Nechira makes no sense. Yeah.
Did you probably say in the first direction? Was that the weakness of the strength hierarchy? The fact that in this situation, because right now you have so much ability to remove yourself and you're not, that more associates what you're doing with...
Again, that goes back to what Alex said a minute ago. That's more the Katanim, that's where Katanim are stronger, are more of a reason for Chiyuv than Gedol. That's a Dovah Shedim Miskavim perspective. Within Dovah Shedim Miskavim, if you want to say that the problem of Edim Miskavim is lack of Tzivur, and then I say, well, but here I choose to do it in this way, that's Mitzarif to me, because I could get the coffee table over there without the Charitz. By choosing the Charitz method, I become responsible for the Charitz. Fine. If your problem is a Tzivur, in a Miskavim problem, the Edim Miskavim is a problem of Tzivur, fine. But we're not operating with that. We're assuming Bein Begdalim, Bein Begdalim, Bein Miskavim, Mutar. However, Sikresha, Chayiv. So now we're saying the more integrated it is, the stronger the Chayiv is. So how do you break up that integration? Can you break it up also by alternatives? Right now it's fully integrated. When you cut off this chicken's head, he's going to die. But there's a way to cut off his head where he won't die. I don't mean it literally. I mean in the case of segregation. We can cut it off and it won't die. Right? There are two ways to cut off the chicken's head. A and B. With A, he always dies. B, there's mystical intervention. So does the fact that B exists have impact on A when you choose A? That's what we're talking about right here. That's not going to help you. Katanim's not going to help you. That's not the bottom of segregation. Now, by the way, since everybody's talking about Katanim and Gdolim, though, this might help explain the other Girsa without going as far as some of the Rishonim. In other words, one Girsa says that Big Katanim, they argue, and Big Gdolim, everybody will agree that you're Chayiv. Right? So the Ramban says in Shabbos, why are you Chayiv? Shlomo? That's what the Ramban says. If you have that Girsa, it's because of Psikresha. Then the problem is, so what are you going to say? The Machlokas and the Gemara and Chafesim and Beis and Shabbos and Psachim. If you have, well, Psachim doesn't work out. Let's say in Shabbos, Chafesim and Beis is a Machlokas, whether Modar of Shimon of Psikresha or not. Right? So we could say that. Again, Shibu Kubetis in Ksuvas has such a daya. Modar of Shimon, according to some views, at least in the Havamin, is not Modar of Psikresha. Okay. That's possibility number one. Possibility number two, if you hold like the Aruch, so the point, the argument is about Sikreshu de lo nichalei, whether it's mutter or not. If indeed it's lo nichalei. But what if it's really Sikreshu de nichalei? And you don't want to say that there's a view that Rav Shimon's not mode of Sikreshu de nichalei. So how would you have that girsa? So is it possible, as we suggested before, that maybe the Ramban, you don't have to accept the Ramban. Even if you have the Girsa of Moda B'Gedolim, maybe Gedolim is either not a Psikresha, but it's great probability, which enters into the Safek Kavana issue. Or maybe the Ramban is right, and it is Psikresha. Aye, but we're not happy with those other alternatives. Namely, we don't want to say Rav Shimon is not known yet, and we don't want to say Tzikrei Shilu Nichale, because it isn't Tzikrei Shilu Nichale. So what about saying that Gedolim is a Psik Resha, which is Efshar Ba'ofen Acher? And that in two senses. Number one, it could be it's a Gedolim, you know, which for which there's always, you know, if he wants to break his back, he can pick it up and he can haul it there without dragging it. As long as he drags it, let's leave it at that. As long as he drags it, there's a psik resha. The point is that there is another way to get this object over there. An unpleasant way, but a way. In other words, could it be that the discussion of the Gemara, according to that girsa, is exactly the discussion whether or not Shulchan Gemara and Rashi and the Rosh are right or they're wrong. That gufa is the issue. A psik resha for which there's an alternative. Or it's gedolim, another way to say it. It's gedolim and it makes a charitz. Unless you take extraordinary care. And you know, even as you're dragging it, you drag it in a special way. It's a psik resha if you don't do anything preventative. And you're not doing anything preventative. That's exactly the Rosh. Efshar listom mechira, but he's not. So this also may have to do with the sugya in Ksuvas. What's the sugya in Ksuvas, Sammy?
Mutter and levon tefillah b'shabbos.
Correct. The Gemara says debate whether mutter also live on tefillah b'shabbos. According to the Man D'Amar, mutter live on tefillah b'shabbos. So the Gemara asks, do you have the Gemara there in front of you? You don't mind? The Gemara says, if you hold Efshar Livol, Tefillah B'Shabbos, what about the problem of Psik Resha? Right?
Okay,
you don't
mind.
Oh. So that's a very interesting Gemara. What does it mean when we say Yesh Bekiyim Bahataya? The innocuous way to read the Gemara would be, Sammy?
There are some who are keen, and therefore just for them, it's...
Yeah, material. The people who know what they're doing, it's not a psik resha, lemaisa. Okay? They know this technique. For them, there's no psik resha, and there's nothing more to talk about. As for anybody else, or, well, let's say better even. They know the technique and they use the technique, or that just the fact that they have access to the technique? Not clear, right? So some Rishonim say that what the Gemara means is they know the technique and they're going to use the technique. But knowledge of the technique without use of the technique is psik resha. That's already one point of machlokas. Continue.
In Cain, Tarit Lama, the Sheina Baki, Yomer Baki, Mutar Sheina Baki Asner, Rov Bikini.
So what does that mean? That's the second line of the Gemara now. The Gemara says, what about the rest? Right? What about them? Let's say the ones who are baki, yes, the ones who are not baki, no. The answer is, rov b'kiyin hein. So what does that mean? Rov b'kiyin hein means when the Gemara is talking, when the Gemara gives its psak, it's talking about the rov. But in Achanami, when it comes to the miyut, what? Also. Or is the Gemara saying the fact that there is a rov affects the miyut as well? Well, that's very, very tricky. So in its extreme, again, so one extreme of the Gemara is saying even the bekiyim have to use the technique. Because you have access to the technique, that doesn't militate against psik resha. Only using the technique undermines psik resha. That's one extreme. The other extreme is in this part of the second part of the Gemara, when the Gemara says, "So yomru baki mutar ena baki asur." So the Gemara says, "Rov b'kiyim." So the most extreme way to read that line is, Sammy, to say, It's mutter for everyone, even for the miut who doesn't have access to the technique, and foreshadowing already the issue in the Rishonim, and even even if it's objectively true that lo, that unless you have the technique, lo mizdamni. Now this is an interesting question. If there's a technique to accomplish something, so can you determine fully that without the technique, it'll never happen? That's, can you accidentally, you know, accomplish something that is accomplishable through a technique? That's an interesting question, quite in its own right, right? Is anything that is doable through technique possible, even birachok, in a coincidental way? I would be tempted to say yes, but, you know, again, it depends how complicated the technique is, I guess. If it's a really complicated technique, you know, real specialty, the answer still could be no. Okay. Either way, how much likelihood or possibility of this happening by accident are we talking about also? And this gets back to Brian's issue, right? You talk about a one in a million? Probably, if something is done, can be done through a technique, through a conscious technique, you know, it can, you know, remote possibility that it can be done accidentally. Just coincidence, he did this, he did that, he did this, he did all 1,000, he only did all 10,000 steps of the technique coincidentally. Is it possible? Very, 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 very unlikely. Possible? I think so. But let's say if it's doable by technique, it happens 10% of the cases without the technique. That's already much more interesting question. So without going into detail, you can look at the Rishonim there. I told you, gave you a few to look at. You saw them, Sammy? The Rikvar, Benyon, or you saw them when we learned Ksuvus. So what is the range there?
Just on that question of whether only they're over for everyone, the Ritva is saying for everyone because Abshoshim's in a minute.
Yeah, the Ritva says, listen, first of all, before we get to the Ritva, what about Rashi and Tosis?
Rashi says...
Hey, read the Rashi just quickly. It's very unclear. Yeah. So one could read in Rashi. I would like to read in Rashi in light of Rashi and Zvachin, but I may be reading too much into it. The Rishonim and Shittim Kubetz says debate what Rashi means and what Tosis means. Right? Well, what would we like to say in Rashi?
It's more for everyone because
even if it's low Afshar, even if it's low Mizdami.
Because we've broken the connection between
Exactly. The fact that there are people out there who can do this means that A doesn't equal B anymore. So that's what I'd like to say for Rashi. The Farshim are not sure if Rashi means that or not. So then Afila Balom is that would be the extreme. Afila Balom is Damni, because some people can do it, the Muat who can't do it, for sure they can't do it. In that sense, it's a bigger Kiddush than the Shofar Gibori. And then Rashi. And certainly then the Rush. Because this person can't do it. But you can object to this on one other grounds, namely, Sammy. Even if the concept in subsequent ratio was correct, Shlomo, what might you say? Still another issue here. In evaluating, I give it all away. In evaluating the link between these two mysin, very good. There's another question that we need to address. What? No. The whole point is that there's no kavana from secretion. Michael, what's the other question we need to address, which is very relevant, especially to the Gemara and Ksuvos? In evaluating the link between these two actions. Say again? No. That we mentioned already, but there's another, J. Yeah, but don't be so specific that you do it this. Meaning, in defining the objective link between actions, is that a global issue or is that a personal issue? In other words, if somebody is capable of doing A, right, without doing B, but I'm not. So in my world of actions and interrelationships, is that relevant or not? Because even if we were to say psychratia is not defined subjectively by whether this will happen or not, because in all these cases we're talking about, the interesting cases that we're talking about, it's going to happen. But we're saying, but since you could break the connection, that's enough. I have to be able to break the connection, or somebody has to be able to break the connection? Meaning, the definition of meisim is a objective, global one? Or if the objection of meisim for me is still a personal one? That's different than saying what you're going to do. But the point is, you have to be able to break the connection. Somebody else's worldview is not necessarily yours. Or is it? Or does that goofa depend on Rove and Mears? If Rove people, because part of the sugi, part of the difficulty of the sugi there, I don't want to go into all the details, like a range of shitas there, but, why Rove? For example, according to Shulta Gibarim, does it have to be Rove? The alternative? You might say alternatives are equivalent. But the case of the sugi there, we say Rove Biki and Bahatayah. So according to some Rishonim, the words Rove, Biki, and Bahataya basically are unimportant. Or if they're important, they're only important to the secondary way. The Ritva, the Rajva. Meaning, for them, they say the following. Sami, Saad? What's important about the words Rove, Biki, and Bahataya, and what's not important? Whichever order you want to start with.
It's important that there's Biki, not so much that it's Rove.
The Rove, Biki, and Bahataya is really responsible for mutter lekulam, because it establishes a stronger foundation for the efshar lehizdamein lekol echad. But in the Gemara, it doesn't sound that way. The Gemara doesn't mention at all efshar lehizdamein lekol echad. All the Gemara says is rov b'kiyum ba'ataya. The way the Ritva understands the sugya, no. How can you... It's the Ritva doesn't like the whole thrust of this. Basically, according to the Ritva, it's a regular case of non-psychratia. Why? Because every person who is Boel, the Tchila, the Shabbos, in theory, might not, there's an option that he might not be Meshir Sulim. How do you know that? Yeah, it's just because they're Rove, Biki, and Bataya. For the Ritva, that's an indication that really, if so many people can master the technique, it's not only those people who have exceptional, contortional, abilities or whatever it is, right? So, what that indicates is, it's anything that the rogue people or rogue people in a place can master is by definition not so unnatural. If it's not so unnatural, then Efshel is Damin, the Kol Echad. So the growth part for the Ritva is just a foundation for what's really important, Efshel is Damin. And if you really believe in a serious Efshel is Damin, it's not a secretion. But that's not Pashas and Sugya. So what other role could Rove play? So Tosa says, go ahead. Yeah. So here's the machlokus within what Tosis means. Does Tosis mean that Zlina Mosa Rove? So the Rishonim and Shitim Gubetsa say, what do you mean, no Zlina Mosa Rove? It's a Mira Nikar. What? Is that really what he means? But at least Tosis is trying to say that the Rove is important here. Maybe that's what Tosis means? Or, there's another possibility. And that's what I just said a second ago. Maybe there are two issues here. One issue is the question of psychratia. If you know for sure something is going to happen according to the events that are unfolding, do you care about alternatives and options, even if they're accessible? That's question number one. That's a huge machlokes rishonim that goes to the heart and core of what psychratia is about. That's what we're exploring now. But there's also a second question. That is, whose reality, assuming that psychratia really, really focuses on the objective interrelation between actions and not on what's happening in this particular case, assuming that that is so, whose reality, whose alternatives dictate? So one extreme is anybody in the world. If you can ever do A without B or B without A, if anybody can ever do it, then it's not a psychration. That's the end of the story. Or it has to be my reality. Or here's a third option. It doesn't have to be my reality, but it has to be a reality, right, which doesn't exclude me. I may not be part of it, but if enough people are part of it, as if it's in this idiosyncratic, there's a guy living on a mountain in Tibet, who can do something, and that's it. Or three. Right? So that, that does not become, that becomes extraordinary and idiosyncratic. It doesn't become part of the definition of the interrelationship of actions. It's too idiosyncratic. So we say he's a miracle worker. Or a master contortionist, but by definition, these things are A equals B. But if Rove are Bikian, even though I'm not part of that Rove, but the point is, this is a global, I have the right to look at this in a global way, I'm part of the global population. If there's a sizable population that can do this, right, then the definition of the action changes even for the group that does it. That's a very important, again, this is one case, but this is a very important issue of segregation. In general, it's an important issue. Whose reality dictates? Mine? Anyone's? Or a mainstream one? Yeah.
Does this rule, does it specifically have to be Mizdaqim or also among Mizdaqim?
What do you mean Mizdaqim? I mean, do you need both? So some are shown and say, so what I'm basically saying is following. I don't want to go into the details because it'll take too long. I gave you some things to look at already. Yonah. The Rajva, the Ritva, Rashi Tosis. There's a range of views of Rishonim. So the range goes like this, pretty much. Now Rishonim would say, one group says, everything depends on you and on your specific present circumstances. That's the Davar Pasha at Shita. In other words, the people who are Bikiyim Bahataya, for who can do this, Let's say it's not Mizdamim for them either, by accident. Only when they want to do it. So I think it's a Mediona. Only when they want to do it is not a Psikresha. Even the population that can do it, whatever they want, is a Psikresha if they choose not to use the technique. That's one extreme. That's the extreme that leaves us with nothing in the Sugya. The whole Shakramakari is meaningless for Psikresha. It's a routine Psikresha. And a routine non-separation if they happen to use the technique. That's one extreme. The other extreme is even the Muat, who can't do this, and it's not Mizdamein ever on its own, so for them, one would think, on two levels. Number one, it's always, A is always going to cause B. And number two, they're not in the population that even has an alternative. Nonetheless, the fact that out there, there is somebody who can do this, maybe not even wrong, that would be the opposite extreme. Not even wrong, the guy in Tibet. He can do this, he's the only one, A doesn't equal B anymore. Even for the rest of us. In between those two shitos, you have a group of Rishonim who say, you know what, only the Afshar is that. But that Rishonim would say, even Afshar is that, maybe is lipstick ratio, because it depends how much, how, that's where Ephraim's question comes into play. Is psikresha 100%? Is psikresha 99%? Let me explain what I mean. There are certain niyot, she'ino matsuis, where the Rav Yisrael explained it, about which we will say there's no leidas hasafek. That's a big question in many issues that come up. Efshe levarer, davshesha matirin, right? Basically, you have a very, very small, insignificant meal. Like I explained when I was there the other day. You walk across the street. So for every 10,000 times or 100,000 times that a person walks across the street, there might be a mishap. But no one says, you're about to walk across the street, there's a 1 in 100,000 chance that, you better say, you have a son of a woman. Say, you have a son of a woman. And not just because it's a, you know, very, 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 very low suffering. We don't, until it happens, we don't consider the possibility of it will happen. That's called Ein Kan Leidus HaSafek. So what about separation? What about a miut, which is so small, we just don't, until it happens, it can happen, but until it happens, it doesn't matter. Maybe that's a pshat in Gedolah. It's another possibility. So that's relevant here. What are you going to say? That E.F. Charlotte, he's done it. If somebody can do something that practically ain't going to, maybe, I'm going to say. But I think you'd have a very, very, very hard time trying to convince someone that something is doable through technique, but it's impossible without a technique. But without knowing the technique. Because it's always possible that coincidentally you'll follow those thousand steps. So you can say EF Shon is done, but it's such a miut rachok, that's basically a psikoresha. If there's an exception that ever happens, we say, wow. Maybe we make a bracha. It's a phenomenon. Now, I'm not suggesting that the same criterion that we use for Efshar Lebarer and Davashay Shalmatirin would apply to maintaining a psikoresha, though there's a possibility. I think it would be much less. Right? But it could be that a 5% chance is nothing in the issue of Efshar Lebarer and Davashay Shalmatirin. It could be that for psikoresha, for an exception to psikoresha not to count, it has to be, you know, 1 in 1,000,000 or 1 in 10,000. I don't know. I'm thinking about it. But the point is that even if it's actually is domain, it's possible to say it's a psikoresha. But there are some rishonim who will say that you need two dinim, you need actually is domain, and you need rov. Or at least you need the rov in order to establish the global, your link with the global definition. So these are the range of shitos that emerge. But certainly one school, it doesn't matter so much where you draw the line. If you say, especially if you say, the EF Shalom is that name, or the opposite, if you say everything depends on the derech that you happen to take, those are the two extremes. Yeah.
The two questions,
are
you saying that we're asking the first question in light of the second question?
What are the two questions?
I mean,
two issues.
Yeah, one issue is like.
One question is, do we care about what's happening or do we care about alternatives? And the second question is, if we do care, if we are concerned about the issue of alternatives, alternatives accessible to you? Alternatives accessible to anyone in the world? Or does it have to be alternatives accessible to the mainstream, however that's defined? I think it could be three broad perspectives. Although, again, there could be 100 different places to draw the line. You could say Rove, you could say Nat Niyadam Matsui, you could say Shava Bashada, you could say he could join the club if he, is he capable of learning this technique? Then maybe he's, then maybe the technique is relevant for his psychic ratio. But if he's incapable because he's physically incapable, then he's out. There are many ways to draw the line. But in the basic issue, we say either it's global, or it's personal access, or it's something, it's the mainstream idea. How you define mainstream, I think, is very open. Understand?
Yeah.
Did I answer your question before? Okay. Let's look at something else very quickly. Safik psikoresha. So that's another issue that comes up. That's an issue which is associated with the. Oh, you didn't see it. You said you didn't see this. Wow, you see this? The Taz. Excellent. Well, what does the Taz say? Again?
Yeah.
Safik psikoresha, he's not sure, but at least it might be. Might be mutter. What is safek psikoresha?
Well,
that's very important. What do you mean it's uncertain it's going to happen? Uncertain it's going to happen, safek psikoresha. That's no shade in the sky. Right? So what does it mean? Aaron? Yeah, the case with the flies. Okay. But this is not the flies in the soup case. We'll get to that.
Hopefully.
That's what halacha is that? Barer, correct. This is the flies in the I don't know, the refrigerator or are the flies?
Honey jar.
In the honey jar. Okay. Well, the flies in the container. Not the fly in the ointment, but the fly in the container. So what happens exactly, Avram? I mean, you're right. So this, what happened? The flies. You said the flies. Hey, just remember that there's about flies. Hey, by the way, it doesn't have to be flies. Got me?
If the flies are in the box, it's the integration question. So the box will definitely trap them.
Exactly. You don't know whether the flies are in the box. If you're about to close the box, you don't know whether the flies are in there or not. If the flies are in there, it will be a psik resha. That's why it's called a suffix psik resha. You might say that's an oxymoron. How can you say a suffix psik resha? Psik resha is vada and suffix is suffix. The answer is it really is a suffix psik resha. It's a very good formulation, that's meaning if there are flies or animals in the place that is containing, that might contain them, then the shutting of the door is a is a psychration. But you don't know whether there is or isn't. It's your lack of knowledge that makes it a suffix psychration. So it's fascinating. So what does the Taz say about it?
That it would be.
He says pretty much, or at least he's sympathetic to that view. He says, or maybe you should try to chase them out to begin with, but once you've done the chasing out, you don't have to worry that they're going to come back in, at least that much. And certainly, if it's also a question whether or not it's the Mino needs those, flies and things of that sort, because, A, people will contain them, B, when you open up the little thing, maybe they'll escape anyway. Doesn't matter that all of them will escape, or maybe one will be captured, very fascinating things. So certainly, you can be there. It's really a machlokes, though. He says it's for the Yoni? For the Torah. But it seems like the Ramah actually is Machmir, right? Right. Was it Shin Tezayim, Sif Gimel, and Sif Katan Gimel in the Taz? What's particularly fascinating, did you look at the Mr. Gurun Bey Alaha? What do you think about it? First, a Ha'ara, then a. What does it say, first of all? Yeah, you said that very well. Say that again? Because you equated them even as you differentiated between them. Just by like switching the two words or something. Say it again? There the question is whether your mice is a mice that you serve. And here's the question whether the mice that you do. He said a little better before. The first two times. Okay, we get the idea. It was good. That's what the Taz says what he says. What's strange to me, and maybe I read it wrong, but the Mishnah Berurah Be'er Halacha seems to me like he missed the point of the Taz. Did you catch that? They focus, for some reason, and he focuses, focuses on the Taz, on what point? And whether it's Safek, whether or not, this is a Dabra Nitzah. The truth is the Taz speaks about that too. The Taz is a long Taz. He speaks about several reasons to be made. We're not really sure if they're going to, if you're going to capture them, even when you go in later. So the Maisa is not Seda, we're not sure whether it's the Mino Nitzav, but the real Suffolk Sikresha issue in the Taz is what you just said, namely, it's not a Darshan of Iskavin, because Darshan of Iskavin is, you know, Suffolk, whether you're going to do a Maisa there or not. And here, the Suffolk is whether or not it is a Maisa there. So the for some reason the Mishnah Berurah, you can look it up. The Mishnah Berurah and the endless comments in Be'er Halacha zeroes in on the question that after all there's a suffix, whether it's a tzeda or not. So this psikresha is a suffix psikresha because maybe even if you do the psikresha, it's not so. So he says, I don't see why that isn't like every suffix Maraisa lechumra. As he says in Be'er Halacha, one point. It's like Safek Naraisa Lachomra, because you're not sure whether or not this is a malacha. Then he kind of alludes to the other aspect of it. He says, and why isn't it exactly like Dovashayna Miskavin? After all, Dovashayna Miskavin is also a Safek. You're Gorer Adam Saf Sol Mita, and so on. So what's the point? There's a possibility it'll make a charitz. Here you're closing the door, there's a possibility that you're going to be tzad. Right? Again, but his focus is not on the fact that you're not sure whether things are in there, the Chafetz Chaim is, even though that is the case. But, you know, after all, ain't the Mino Nitzav? So it's the same. In both cases, you have a suffix, whether what you're doing is. So here, at least, he says, well, there is a fundamental difference. Namely, you know
whether it's a suffix in the actual Mi'ila, the Maisa. Isser, or the peripheral one, the
Gerera. Okay, and he says it even better in that sense. You're right, but is the suffix in the past, or is this, or in the present, or is the suffix in the future? Because when I start dragging the object, right, nobody knows whether or not it's going to make a charitz or not. Right? Because it has yet to be determined. But when I close the door, the information, the facts that determine whether or not it's a malacha or not are there. I just don't know. I'm unaware. I'm personally unaware. But objectively, it's a stat. He doesn't say objectively. He says avar, asid, whatever. But this is what he's struggling to say. But then he says, but I'm not sure. Maybe it's still darshan miskavin. Or maybe it's really still psikresha. He's nostalgic about the whole thing. But what I found fascinating is that he emphasizes much more the issue of Mino Nitzod than the real issue, which is are the Zvubim and the Tzvi, are they in there or not? For him, there might be an Afkamina for the Taz too, but not at this point, between Zvubim and Tzvi. Right? Okay. But the point is that this is the subject, and Rabbi Kivager discusses this, and it's a huge, all that Korim got involved in this. So what do you think about it in light of what we said? Michael? Ellie? Is that really true?
To you, it's for your personal.
It's the opposite in a way. You don't know, you don't have enough information to know whether this act is a malacha or not. But hasn't it been established, it isn't objectively either A equals B or A doesn't equal B? Meaning if the issue is anan sa'adi, the nichale, the nana, and so on, can you say that in the case of subject sigresha? I think that's questionable. Because the fact is that you don't know. You don't know when you drag the safsal, and you don't know when you close this sateva, and how should you know?
But that just points to the fact that you're definitely going to be closing the box without the game tools, and then definitely that the mice of closing.
Oh, that's true anyways. Right, that's true even if you know they're in there.
But it's a possibility that it's not, that this makes you more makes
But I would say Lumanishuk. I mean, if you know, you can always close the door. You know, without if you want to say Shulchan Gevor, no, just close the door without. Although, yeah, there has to be a reason for you to be closing the door. It's a refrigerator. All the or you don't want the flies to come in. Whatever. So, right. It could be like this, that Shilta Gibor in that sense. But that's not the argument of the Taz. Right? I mean, the Nakuda of the Taz is...
Oh, I'm sorry, we'll stop in 1 minute.
The Nakuda of the Taz is... You just don't have any... You could be doing something in the Gamri Mutzer, you could be doing something in the Gamri Asur, notwithstanding the causal relationship that exists. Right? So I would say the opposite. I would say like this. If Zikresha is about subjective inevitability, awareness, and so on, so in a way that's lacking here. That's a suffix Zikresha. It's like Dor Shen and Miskaven. One is in the past and one is in the future. But if in both cases, if we're talking about your kavanah, your personal kavanah, you really legitimately do not know when you close this refrigerator or this door or whatever it is, you have no clue whether or not you're doing a malacha or not. That's Eina Miskaven. But if you say the Eina Miskaven, Kim Miskaven, Pshat of Rashi, or you say the Psik Reishas and Mechayev, as long as A equals B or A is hyphenated to B, the question is about the objective relationship between the actions. So given the reality that now exists that you're not aware of, but it is, it already exists, it would be a bracha levatala for you to, all of the sugyas and brachos, to be in the spalel, that there are no bees or flies in your refrigerator, even as you're closing, because they're either there or they're not. It happened already. Right? The conditions are there. Right? It's like, being the spalel for the boy, after the, or the girl, for that matter. And it's a tefillah show. The facts are there already. You just don't know them. Is it legitimate that you don't know them? Can we blame you for not knowing them? Can you say, he's in denial? You're not in denial. You legitimately don't know them. People are constantly checking every container, every cupboard to make sure that there aren't bees and flies. Probably not. So, from a subjective point of view, in terms of kavanah, it's a dovashen of miskaven, probably. But if your question is whether A equals B or whether A is hyphenated to B, that is already established whether you know it or you don't know it. What?
Unless kavanah affects that. I mean, kavanah could affect the kesher, the tie between A and B.
Kavanah could affect... In what way?
I don't have kavanah for the second action because I don't know about it, so then perhaps that reduces the connection with them.
I find that, to say that the, if you want to say the Shulchan Gibor and Rashi, all these, meaning, when I subjectively know it's going to happen, that's not enough. But when objectively it's established that it will happen, then my subjective knowledge undermines that? I don't see the svar in that. I'll think about it more, but I don't see that. In theory, anything could affect it. But you have to then examine and assess whether it makes it, is it likely? Does A, are you going to say that A doesn't equal B because you don't happen to know about it? If the issue is whether A equals B. I don't see it. But, so this would be very important. In a similar vein, it's interesting, this I am. When we talk about it, we'll just mention it right now. The Be'er Halakha says maybe it depends on Tosfos and Ksuvos Davar Amar Aleph, who speaks about another issue. Namely, what other issue? Yossi? See Tosfos and Ksuvos? The end of Tosfos and Ksuvos Davar Amar Aleph discusses the problem of Hoshana Achriti, and Tosfos raises an interesting question. Yoni? He calls it Sabbath Psychratia, but it really isn't the issue of Sabbath Psychratia. The Chavetz Chaim says, maybe it depends on this. What is it really? But that's where he makes a distinction between Avar and Asid. It's Psychratia and Afreya. Let's say at the time when you took off the berries, you didn't know whether you need the Hadas, but later on you decided to use it. So do we say Psychratia and Afreya? That's not exactly the same as the Taz's case, which is, do we say Safek Psikresha? So Tosfos seems to have two deis about that question. One day in Tosfos says it's not a Psikresha in that case. Why? Because it's only a Mafreya. Inami? It is a Psikresha. Reisha, and the reason that it's Mutar is because of mitzvah, shiny, all sorts of other things. There seem to be 2 days in Rishonim, and 2 days in Tosfos, whether Psik Reisha or Mafreya is Chayav or not. So Chavetz Chaim says Psik Reisha or Mafreya, Safik Psik Reisha, it's the same thing. Or no, maybe it's different because Psik Reisha or Mafreya hasn't yet been determined. That's the whole point. It's determined by the future. Psik Reisha, Safik Psik Reisha is already determined, you just don't know about it. Okay, we'll stop here. I'll discuss that a little bit more. And just one or two other points, and then we move on to the Lashon Truth and Dupan. You know, maybe we'll dive in the other...